Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Kevin White, who died at the age of 82 on Friday, served as mayor of Boston from 1968 until 1984, overseeing a city in transition. When Kevin White was first elected, American cities were struggling, and Boston was among them. It was losing population, its days as a mighty seaport well behind it.
White is credited with leading a downtown renewal that forever changed the profile of Boston, from one marked by urban blight and decline to one defined by tall buildings, a thriving financial district, and a vibrant waterfront.
But his record on the city's greatest social challenge of that time is less clear. During his tenure, a federal court order to desegregate the city's schools led to racially charged violence in Boston's neighborhood. White led the city through the busing crisis, and some say he handled an intractable social challenge as well as it could be managed. Others say the downtown mayor turned his back on the neighborhoods in their time of need.
In a moment, we're going to consider his legacy during this difficult and defining period of the city. But first, a story about racial healing and one of Kevin White's finest moments. It occurred the night after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., as racial violence began to rip through many American cities.
Here in Boston, it was different, and some credit Kevin White for that. R&B legend James Brown was scheduled to perform at Boston Garden. Reporter Michael May's story begins with music journalist Tom Vickers, who was 18 years old at the time and one of the few whites in the city with a ticket to see the James Brown show.
If you were a black person and you were found on the streets of South Boston, day or night, you know, you were lucky to escape alive. And quite frankly, the inverse was true. If you were a white person walking the streets of Roxbury, there was danger. You know, you could feel it. It was palpable.
The tension had been escalating in the mid-60s as the city began to desegregate its public schools. The mayoral race in 1967 pitted a liberal reformer, Kevin White, against Louise Day Hicks, an opponent of desegregation. Hicks ran under the evasive slogan, "You know where I stand." White won the race by less than 12,000 votes. So Boston's race relations were already on a short fuse when Martin Luther King was shot and killed on April 4, 1968. John Jabbo Starks, the drummer in James Brown's band, was heading into town to play the Boston Gardens when he heard the news.
That was such a tragedy. It was sad, and then it was shameful. It was like almost like as if you were drained. We're trying to better ourselves, and then this happens.
Riots broke out across the country, and some feared Boston would be next. In fact, city leaders were terrified that the James Brown concert would bring the violence right into the heart of downtown. Mayor Kevin White and Boston's first black city council member, Thomas Atkins, debated whether or not to cancel the concert. They talked about the decision in a VH1 documentary. Mayor Kevin White speaks first.
His concert, we thought, might bring as many as 15 or 20,000 black people from the community, particularly young people, into the city. It just had too much emotion in it not to decide whether that would be a problem.
And I said, Kevin, you are doing exactly the wrong thing. If the word gets out in the black community that the city would not let James Brown come to town and perform in the wake of King's assassination, I said, all hell will break loose.
The city had only a few hours to find a compromise. Meanwhile, Tom Vickers went to a somber memorial for Dr. King that afternoon in Government Center near downtown. Afterwards, he went to the Boston Gardens and asked a large Irish policeman if the show was still going to happen.
And he said, yeah, it's going to happen, but if I were you, I'd just turn in your tickets and get a refund. And I said, well, if the show's going to happen, why would I want to do that? And he said, well, it could be a little edgy here tonight, and here's the good news. They're going to show the concert tonight on WGBH. They're going to broadcast the entire show.
The mayor held a press conference to encourage people to stay home and watch it in the safety of their living room. Vickers cashed in his tickets at the box office, as did thousands of others.
Give another round of applause for James Brown.
That night, around 9 p.m., James Brown walked on stage at the Boston Gardens, and Mayor White was by his side. White addressed the crowd of around 2,000 and the row of television cameras.
Now, I'm here tonight, like all of you, to listen to James. But I'm also here to ask for your help. I'm here to ask you to stay with me as your mayor and to make Dr. King's dreams a reality in Boston. This is our city, and its future is in our hands. Tonight, tomorrow, and the days that follow. So all I ask you tonight is this. Well, let us look at each other, here in the gardens and back at home, and pledge that no matter what any other community might do, we in Boston will honor Dr. King in peace. Thank you.
And with that, James Brown, dressed in all black, grabs the microphone and takes over.
I want you to know innocent, because I'm acting with my friends. My friends. My friends. To do it all over again. But that's life.
Tom Vickers and his family crowded around the TV set in their living room and watched in amazement.
James Brown always gave everything, but at this show, there was an emotional edge to it, and he just seemed totally present in the moment, on fire, and giving 110%.
Help me now.
Then, just as James Brown dons his golden cape, a young man jumps on stage, and in an instant, a white police officer rushes in and throws the man back into the audience.
Wait a minute.
It looks like the beginning of a riot that the entire city of Boston will witness on TV.
When they came on stage, they were just, I think they were just venting that anger or something out, and they just wanted to get up and be close to him or get close to however the mind was going. I can't say, but I know that when the police started trying to throw him off stage, that's when it became a little touchy there.
Brown tells the police officers to let him handle it, and he shakes hands with another teenager who's jumped on stage. Suddenly, fans swarmed the singer.
It was almost to a point that it was getting ready to be something really bad to happen.
We're black. Don't make us all look bad. Let me finish doing the show.
But when he stopped it, he saw that, he stopped it, and he could do that. He had that kind of power. People would listen to him.
Within a couple of minutes, the Godfather of Soul clears the stage.
Now, I asked the police to step back because I figured I could get some respect for my own people. That makes sense. And are we together, Wayne? Yeah. Get the thing now.
That night, there was rioting in over 100 U.S. cities. Dozens of people were killed. Huge areas of Newark, Detroit, and Washington, D.C. went up in flames. But Boston remained quiet. People stayed inside their homes, captivated by the James Brown Show.
That story from reporter Michael May.
And stay with us when we return. School desegregation, the busing crisis, and assessing the late Mayor Kevin White's record on one of the city's most intractable social issues. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.
Well, I might as well. Give me fever.